There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're pleased to have in the studio Daniel Richards, senior economist at Emirates NBD. Morning to you, Daniel.
Good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for coming into the studio this morning. First, let's look at the potential for trade wars between the US and Europe and Asia. Donald Trump has revisited his campaign pledges to charge countries duties on some of their exports to the US in the name of protecting jobs. What do we know so far? Just bring us up to speed. What do you understand from this?
So these haven't actually been implemented yet, but as you say, he is threatening to or pledging to fulfill what was quite a major part of his campaign strategy, that is improving the US trade balance and imposing tariffs on steel imports. So last week he came out at the end of the week saying that he would implement his 25% tariff on steel imports and 10% on aluminium. Some of his aides seem to have been trying to talk him out of it. There's not unanimous support in the White House. So the NEC's Gary Cohn, for instance, Jim Mattis appear to be against it. But at the same time, there is support, and we shouldn't be surprised. This has been something he's talked up a long time. It was something which helped bring him to power in the first place, appealing to Rust Belt Pennsylvania voters. So now it looks like he's actually going to follow through with this action.
Phil Orlando, who's a chief equity strategist at Federated Investors in New York, said, look, for a real estate guy like Trump, you pound the podium, you rattle some sabers, you get everybody's attention, then you negotiate back to a regional midpoint. Do you think this is that sort of play? It's basically putting out your most extreme position first and then rolling back a bit.
Well, that is certainly something that he has said himself he likes to do, likes to get the best deal, and does tend to see things as zero-sum strategies, whereas a winner and loser rather than a more multilateral approach. So that could be, but it's a dangerous game to play, I think, if he does follow through with these. And some of his lost hope hicks last week, some of the people who might dial him back somewhat seem to have left the White House. So it might make more likely he'll actually follow through with this, which will have implications for global trade world over.
As you said, I mean, Trump called trade wars good and easy to win. The IMF, though, clearly thinks not. They've been talking as well. In reality, though, are they easy to win if you are the world's number one economy? Can you do that because you are number one?
I would say not. I mean, you can look at past times when steel imports have been imposed. I think it's 2002 under Bush, 95 under Clinton, and there were other factors at play, of course, but the dollar weakened in most instances. And the economy is so much more globalized now, even than it was 15, 25 or 30 years ago. These things become harder. The US exports a lot of soybeans to China. If China imposes tariffs there and reciprocation, then farmers are hit in the US. And also, these measures will hit US companies also, given that the prices will go up there. For instance, aluminium cans, the AB InBev and other beer manufacturers have come out against it.
What realistic chance do you think there is now of making progress in the North America free trade talks between Canada and Mexico that are underway at the moment, with this as a backdrop?
Exactly. It certainly will have muddied the waters and made it even harder to get a deal. Canada is the biggest exporter of steel to the US, just ahead of the EU. Given he's just come out with this and 25% tariff, it's really going to make a mutual deal between the two countries even harder to do. And Trudeau has come out and said we will likely reciprocate if these are pushed through.
One American negotiator has actually gone home early from the NAFTA talks. And when a Canadian source was asked how NAFTA negotiators could still be working in good faith to try and update the deal while Donald Trump's talking about trade wars, a well-paced Canadian source said, look, that's a very good question. I don't think it's an answer yet. And the Americans, the Mexicans as well, have been throwing their hands in the air. Is there some significance, do you think, to the timing of this sort of shot across the bows for NAFTA? Do you think it's a sort of NAFTA-driven thing to try and get the best sort of deal within that North American alliance?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Quite possibly. It certainly will show that they're going to take a hardline position and that they won't brook any supposed weakness in their deals. So, it could really strengthen their hand there. But equally, I think these are multilateral agreements and there has to be some give and take if you're going to find a satisfactory outcome for everybody.
Daniel, let's talk about Europe now, because it's a big day, election day, in this country.
Hey, mambo, mambo, Italiano. Hey, mambo, mambo, Italiano. Go, go, Joe. You mixed up Siciliano.
Elections in Italy. Silvio Berlusconi, 81-year-old, is favourite. What in the world is going on in Italy, Daniel?
So he's back, 81 years old, former Prime Minister. He can't actually be Prime Minister again, given that he has a tax conviction hanging over his head. But there is a fair chance, if it's not a hung parliament with no end result, that his centre-right coalition, comprising of Berlusconi's Forza Italia, La Lega and Brothers of Italy, could come into power once again.
So there's him on one side, 81 years old. Then you've got a 31-year-old is heading the five-star movement, which is, if you like, the kind of slightly offbeat party. What we're expecting a hung parliament, aren't we? But when the dust has settled, who's going to be running Italy?
Yeah, exactly. My money would be on the centre-right, but you can't write off the five-star, I think. So, as you say, very much opposite ends of the age spectrum there. The Democratic Party, I think, is not really in the running. And Matteo Renzi, they're polling just over 22%. There's been no polls for 2 weeks. So I think it really is between Five Star and the centre-right coalition. Five Star could swing it. Luigi Di Maio.
Five Star, this is not the 1980s pop band that I saw at the Manchester Apollo in 1982. What is the Five Star Alliance? When we think of the Five Star Alliance, I think of Beppe Grillo, this comedian, the guy with the big, bushy hair. But are they a kind of joke party, or are they a serious party now?
I think they're very much a serious party now, and they'll likely be the party that takes the biggest share of the vote, probably not enough to exceed that garnered by Forza Italia and La Lega, but it probably will be your single biggest party, so very much a force to be reckoned with. Their policies are kind of left out of centre, I guess, or a bit outside the box. They want to bring an end to compulsory vaccination. We have some quite out there policies like that, even when there's measles rising in Italy. But I think crucially, they're not quite as Eurosceptic as they initially were, which is key for the EU going into these elections. But none of the parties we've kind of dialed back on the anti-EU rhetoric. We're still fairly anti-EU, but not quite to the degree seen maybe 12 months ago.
It's an interesting election because obviously so many internal politics in Italy, with the Northern League up the north still sort of saying maybe you should break away from the south and have a sort of separate, break Italy into two countries. But also I saw some voxes over the weekend, people, newspaper channels and TV channels going around talking to people on the streets in Italy, and the love for Silvio Berlusconi was absolutely obvious. I mean, he's idolised, and when he has come up with his policy, for instance, he wants to create a 23% flat tax across Italy. I mean, you can see the appeal in his policies. I mean, it's entirely policy
populist.
It's highly possible that he could still be sort of pulling the strings no matter what happens in this election.
Yes, yeah, I think he really could. He does retain a great deal of popularity despite his conviction. But I think all of the parties, it's quite a populist-driven election all in all. There's lots of anti-immigration feeling within Italy, and this is being exploited. All of the parties want to dial back on the Dublin Agreement, whereby people who come in off the Mediterranean have to claim asylum in the first country they come to. There are tax issues, issues like universal basic income from Five Star. So I think all of the parties are peddling quite populist strategies.
Germany.
Yes.
Is making headlines.
Results for the SPDP members' vote on proposed coalition in today.
Yes, so something of a super Sunday in Europe, given the Italian elections and then the results of a coalition vote within the SPD. Germany's been without government for nearly six months now, since the September election vote, which didn't result in a decisive victory. So there were months of negotiations, and finally the CDU and the SPD, Angela Merkel's CDU, came to a new agreement, and this has been put to the SPD now. We think it likely will result in a positive vote, which will mean a new grand coalition between the two parties.
There's no doubt at all that Angela Merkel will remain as the Chancellor.
Yeah, I think now is pretty much a given. The SPD would fare fairly badly, I think, if it went to another election. They'd lose more ground to AfD, the populist rightist party alternative for Deutschland. So I'd be surprised if the members didn't vote in favour of coalition and we have another grand coalition under Merkel.
Got 1 minute left, Daniel. The dollar, US dollar, started the year fairly badly. It was weak. It's recovered a little bit. What are your outlook on the dollar?
So in the wake of Friday is fairly mixed bag against the basket of currencies, strengthened against some, weakened against others. Against the euro, expect it to kind of fluctuate around the current levels between 1.20, 1.25, ending the year at 1.20. So some further to strengthen against the yen over the rest of the year on the back of expected rate hikes. But what happens this week with the tariffs could mitigate this further strength we expected.
Daniel, thanks very much for your time this morning. Daniel Richards, Senior Economist at Emirates MBD. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Pleasure.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.